When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Hello, everyone. How you doing? This is Danny Pena, and this episode, I have a special, special interview with T. Lopes. He worked on Shinobi, Art of Vengeance, also worked on Streets of Rage 4, the DLC content that came out a couple years back, also Sonic Mania and Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge. He worked on so many tracks, but we're going to be talking about the new Shinobi, Art of Vengeance, and how was it working on this soundtrack and a lot of other things, man. So stay tuned. Let me know your thoughts of the interview. Make sure to subscribe to my YouTube channel. That will be very, very helpful. I would like to see my number to increase even more. I've been, you know, creating a lot of content for you guys. And also, you can listen to the podcast, the audio version, on any podcast platform. Just go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio, subscribe, and I'm there too. All right, so let's go straight my interview with T. Lopes. Enjoy. All right, so we're back here at Gamertag Radio. We have a special guest here, very well-known composer. He worked on some classics, hello, hello, man. How you doing, T?
Pretty good. How are you, Danny?
Good, good, good. I'm very excited, man. Now, actually, I got to play Shinobi, and wow, the music is fantastic, bro. So
you
congrats
like
on that, man.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a history with Shinobi?
Yes, I do. I mean, since I was a kid, I always loved the game. More specifically, The Revenge of Shinobi for the Genesis, or the Mega Drive, as we call it in Portugal.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's something that it's a game that I played a lot. And then obviously I went and chased all of the other titles of the franchise. But that was the first one I played and the one that was the most influential on me, for sure.
Yeah, because I know you worked on a lot of other projects. What makes this project different than the other projects you worked on?
Well, if it is musically speaking.
Yeah, musically speaking.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say this one is a lot more atmospheric than, say, for example, Sonic Mania or Metal Slug Tactics, which, has a soundtrack that's a lot more typical and a lot more limited in terms of the techniques that are used to make the soundtrack. Whereas this soundtrack is a lot more eclectic and explores a lot of different genres and also different techniques, right? Such as sampling, lots of chopping, lots of hip hop stuff. There's a house stuff, there's techno stuff. So it's a combination of a lot of styles, which some of the other games have too, but here I would say that it was made with more of an experimental kind of vibe, you know?
Yeah, and I know you also worked on with the legendary Yuzo Koshiro. So
what an honor.
How was that? Because, you know, he's also one of my favorite composers, man, in gaming.
Right. And I think everybody's. I mean, he was such a big
very
influence.
Very influential, right?
Such a big influence on me as a musician growing up. But obviously, as, you know, pursuing this career had a lot to do with him and with a lot of other composers. But he was probably the first composer that I knew by name, right? Because you would see his name on the title screen, music by Yuzo Koshiro. So, yeah, he had a lot of influence on me. And being able to work with him now, I think that if kid me found out about that, if I could travel back in time and tell myself that this would happen in the future, it would just lose my mind, right?
Yeah. I'm very curious about this. So, like, you know, I know both of you worked on the soundtrack and everything. So is there something where you guys listen to the project? Like, you guys will show each other's work? Like, how's the process of working with another composer in a project like this?
Yeah, well, it varies, obviously, from composer to composer. And in his case, he lives in Japan, and obviously I'm in the United States. So it was very hard to be able to find a time window in which we could collaborate. But we did listen to each other's stuff, and we did draw inspiration from each other's music, which was great, and we were able to come up with what I think is a very cohesive soundtrack in terms of style. You could listen from beginning to end and not really find it jarring that the composer changed at some point in the game, you know? I think we, despite not being able to work together like that on a daily basis or whatever, we still were able to come up with something, I think, pretty cool.
Yeah, it's like when Sega contacted you about Shinobi Order of Vengeance, was it something where you got to see a demo, pictures? Like, how is the process of working on, you know, the music for the game, you know, the vibe and all that stuff, you know, for you?
Well, ideally, I, you know, would be able to play a demo of the game and just, like, draw vibes from the backgrounds and from the colors and from the, you know, from the stage assets and all of that. But many times all you have access to is just literally pictures or concept art, and you have to, you know, draw from that until you get your hands on the real deal. I was involved in this project very, very early on. But I believe, if I remember correctly, there was already a demo when I joined, so I was able to play that first stage and come up with the song, I think, on the same day, because I was so excited about it. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I feel like I know exactly what could go well with this stage, and started working right after I played.
Yeah, which of the levels you worked on? Because it was hard to tell for me to, you know, which one worked on which, you know? So,
there will be, I mean, It's a long list, man. If I was to enumerate it, I don't think I could. There's a chance that I could forget something.
Yeah.
But I'm sure there will be, you know, the credits afterwards in which people can look at and see who did what. But I would say it's cohesive. It can be a little bit confusing sometimes, because even I'm experimenting with other stuff and it's not my typical style, you know what I mean? So it could be, you could get lost in there. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that there will be, like, a list that people can check after.
Yeah, well, was there a track that it took you the longest? You're like, nah, this is not it. This is not it. I got to make it even better for this game. Was there?
Actually,
there was several, or just a one or
no? No, not really, because fortunately we had some production time that allowed me to, you know, on the days that I was not inspired, to just go and focus on a different project and then come back to it on a different day and, you know, do a better job from the get-go, instead of insisting on something that wasn't going to go anywhere, you know? So fortunately, in terms of that, I had some leeway to work with.
Yeah, I was going to ask you also about working with Sega. How's that been, you know, throughout the years working?
What are the legendary publishers,
slash studios?
Great. I mean, Sega is comprised of a lot of people, as you know, but everybody that I had the pleasure of work with so far in all departments have been just amazing to work with, and I hope I can continue this relationship for many years.
Yeah, that's cool. It's cool. Yeah, I know a couple of years back, I think it was like maybe 2 years or so, they announced a list of games that's coming up, and I know Shinobi was one of them too. Yeah. Watching that video trailer, that teaser, it reminded me of the old school 16-bit era of that that marketing, that vibe, you know? So when I got to see Shinobi, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be sick as hell, man. It's going to remind me of back in the days, man. So was that the vibe for you too when once they pitched you the game to you? Like you felt that?
Oh, I lost my mind, man. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I was going crazy. Can you imagine this game I was playing when I was, I don't know, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old. And all of a sudden I get to be part of history, the history of Shinobi, even if it's just a little bit. I mean, that means the world for a composer like me, composer slash video game fan.
That's awesome. And actually, I got to show you something because you probably don't know about this.
What do you have?
I love the soundtrack, especially the DLC soundtrack of Streets of Rage 4.
Oh, Streets of Rage 4.
Yeah, so I actually bought
nice, dude.
I collect vinyl, so I collect hip hop vinyl records, also gaming records and stuff. Oh, so you got a collection of it too? I see it.
That's my stuff right there.
Let me tell you, love this soundtrack. I love the original soundtrack too.
Thank you, man.
This one is really, really cool, man. So, how was it working on this iconic game too, man? Streets of Rage, because playing the first Streets of Rage and Streets of Rage 2, it really like surprised me. Like a composer making really good, amazing music like that in the 16-bit era. So when I got to hear this soundtrack and the other one too, I was like, man, it's taking me back to those old days, man.
I mean, it was another game that it was really mind-blowing to be a part of, because my favorite game of all time is Streets of Rage 2, right? Yeah. And that has to do with the gameplay. I probably beat it hundreds of times, right? And the soundtrack just never gets old. It's amazing. It doesn't die out. So can you imagine, man? It's just great to join a great team once again, right?
Yeah.
Which involved Lizard Cube at the time too, the guys that are behind the Art of Vengeance. And that's actually where I met Ben Fiquet, right? The art director and the CEO of the studio.
And, yeah, it has that same vibe too. The both games, like the animation, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it has like a kind of a similar vibe. Although I think we stretched creativity even more in this with this game in terms of game, in terms of gameplay, and in terms of the soundtrack as well. But we'll see what people think about it. I'm personally very excited about it.
Yeah. Now, another soundtrack. You probably don't know about this. I got this one too. So
let me see. Aha, Shredder's Revenge.
Yeah, Shredder's Revenge. Yeah.
All right. You got the special edition too. Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I actually got two of these. So, yeah.
Have two. I have one.
You have one? I got two. Yeah. I got two. Yeah. So this is 465 out of 2,000.
Guess which one I have.
Which one you have? You have one?
Number one, baby.
Oh, snap. That is cool, man.
I have to.
That is really cool.
I specifically asked for it, yeah.
That's awesome. Like, how was it working on this soundtrack? Because, you know, Ninja Turtles. Actually, I went to the movie theater this past weekend to watch the 30th anniversary of the first Ninja Turtle movie?
Yeah, the re-release.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. But must have been amazing.
I mean, it reminded me, because I never experienced watching that movie in theaters. I was living in Dominican Republic at that time. So, time passed by. I was like, and then it came out on VHS or DVD at that time. I'm like, all right, whatever. But how was it working on this game too? The soundtrack is also amazing on that one too, that project.
Oh, thank you, man. I mean, it's a completely different vibe. It was great. I would say mainly because of the collaborations that I had. It was the first time that I worked with vocalists on a video game. I had worked with other musicians before, but with vocalists and like writing lyrics for some of the songs and everything. So in that sense, it was very enriching, I would say that's the word, in terms of, it made me a better musician. I think in the end, I was more well-versed musician all around after that project. So it was great, and we involved rappers. We had a heavy metal, Panic in the Sky. You know that one. We had Johnny Atma playing the guitar. So all sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, I know. Shout out to Megaran. I know he's in the soundtrack.
Megaran, yes, he is. Yeah.
And also, I was very surprised. Also seeing Ghostface and Raekwon from Wu Tang.
Right.
I'm also a huge fan of hip hop. Of course.
How do you get the hold of those guys?
Well, actually, I'm actually working with Brass Line. Shout out to Brass Line Entertainment. Working on a new Wu Tang game. So I'm part of that project too. Yeah, me and my wife. So I'm very excited.
Do you know what's crazy?
What's up?
Is that before I became a video game composer, I was making hip-hop beats for,
oh, really?
For emerging artists in Portugal. Yeah. So imagine, that's what I wanted to do for a living, right? But then this came along and just swept me away. But how crazy is it that I would end up making a beat for those guys?
that's crazy,
for the
right?
Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah, man. Yeah. That's just...
So you produced that track?
That track is my beat.
Oh, yeah. Snap. I had... no. That is so cool, man. Oh, snap. I went to the Wu-Tang show here, final tour in Los Angeles. I went there with my wife and friends, and that was like an amazing experience watching that live. I've seen them before many times, the whole group. It's rare to see them all together.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so what was it that inspired you to become a composer as a young age?
To become a composer, many things, man. But to make that step, that I wanted to make it a career out of it, I think it came at the age of maybe around 20 or so. There was this opportunity to make a song for a mobile game. It was like a very small puzzle game for the iPhone. And I took it because somebody I knew was making a game, and they knew that I could, you know, that I could dabble in that stuff, and that I like video game music because of my Sonic remixes on YouTube. So I got the invitation. I made the music for that, and I loved it. And I said, "That's it, man. I get paid for this. Let's go. I want to do this for the rest of my life."
And you inspired, because look, there's gonna be a lot of young gamers that, you know, like how we got inspired when we got to play Streets of Rage 2 back in the days.
You are
going to be the next one too. Like, a lot of people are going to hear your music and like, oh man, I want
to
become a composer.
It's something I didn't think about at the time, right? I just wanted to do the cool thing of working with video games, which I love, right? But there is the consequence, the good consequence of inspiring other people to do it in the future as well. If AI doesn't take over and ruins everything. But
what advice would we give them to those up and coming composers?
Not to be afraid to expose their work more, you know, to work hard, finish your songs, put that stuff out there. Like a million people is going to listen to it. And eventually, I believe, and this might sound a little, mystical, if you want to call it that, but I believe that if you pour all of your energy into becoming something, eventually life starts presenting these opportunities that you just have to grab and go with everything, you know? But yeah, just focus on it, finish your stuff, learn from your musical heroes, take notes, be humble, learn as much as you can, hone your skills and put them out there, put your music out there for as many people as possible. And I'm sure that some opportunity will arise.
Awesome. Awesome. Ed, what was your first game that you worked on?
It was called Fling. It was that mobile game I was telling you about.
Oh, Fling.
Just a minute ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's not even on the stores anymore. It just disappeared. That was the first experience I had as a video game composer of any sort, right? Having my music featured in any game. But my first full-fledged soundtrack was Major Magnet in 2013, in which I got together with a team of developers and they made this amazing game, which was also mobile. But that was the first time I was able to come up with a body of work, like a bunch of songs for a project.
Yeah, to me, music is... in a game is so, so important to me, because that's what gets me in the vibe. That's what gets me stressed out, happy, right? Yep. Like sometimes, I play some games and I feel like the music doesn't blend in very well with the game, you know? Like how is it for you, like, to make sure when you create a beat or a track for a game, like, okay, I want people to feel this vibe, you know? Because it's hard to do that, because it's two different groups of people that work on that, you know, the music side and the animation graphics side, you know.
That's not something I can really explain, to be honest with you. It's just you're playing the game when I'm playing the game, it's like some music starts playing in my head. And I hear it and just translate it into something that you can hear too, you know. But it's a feeling. I really can't put my finger on it.
Yeah. Well, what's next for you?
What is next for me?
And I know you're working on a couple of things probably.
I'm working on a couple of things. Some I can talk about because they've been announced. Some I cannot, obviously. But But yeah, man, I'm working on a very exciting game.
Yeah. So can you say anything else? Or any other project that you work on? I don't know.
No, I'd rather not talk about the rest of the stuff that hasn't been now. So I don't want to get in trouble.
We got to keep it safe. If you have a dream project that you would like to, this is my last question. If you have a dream project that you would love to be part of, is there anything? It could be Sega, not Sega related or anything.
Yeah, there's a bunch of things, but there are two projects that I hope to be involved with before I die. One is a Mega Man game, and another one is a Castlevania game.
Ooh.
If I could be involved in either one of those, or hopefully both, that would make the rest of my life.
Now, out of both of those games, which one was your favorite soundtrack out of the past Mega Man game and the past Castlevania game?
Mega Man game, my all-time favorite is Mega Man 8.
Okay.
I know it's not most people's favorite, but
Why is it favorite?
Why is it my favorite?
Yeah.
Because it's weird. It's right. Weird in a way that tickles my brain. I'm listening to it and it's like, wow, this is so unconventional. So it's kind of, and also it might have to do with the fact that it was the first Mega Man game I played and that I fell in love with the whole universe through that game. So maybe I'm biased, but I love that one. And for Castlevania, Symphony of the Night is
that's a classic.
Forever to me, probably it's top three for me and probably the best soundtrack Castlevania will ever have.
Yeah, it's my second favorite from Castlevania, Super Castlevania 4. Oh, that soundtrack! I'm like, how the hell they managed to do that on a 16-bit console? Mm-hmm. I was like, wow! But it sounded so iconic, man.
They squeezed every drop out of the hardware for that one.
Yeah,
sure.
Like I know technology has been so much easier now to create music and all that stuff, but those days was very challenging. And it reminds me of like work whatever you have at the moment, and I feel like you'll become even more creative because you have less resources and.
That is true, but at the same time, it's a pain in the butt because
it's stressful.
Do you know how stuff was done that back then?
Well,
with the trackers and everything, numbers and letters.
I know Streets of Rage was really hard because there was not enough tracks and it was very complicated. But got you into music even more, like seeing that, like, oh, okay, is this going to be stressful or is by the time you already started music, easier?
No. By the time I actually did the industry.
Oh, you were too deep.
But I learned how to track eventually, just did a few experiments there, which was fun, but not fun. It's even the simplest thing you want to do there musically is a pain in the back, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. That's cool, man. But hey, T, man, I just want to say, man, it's been an honor to have you here, man.
Love
the soundtrack. And you know what? I'm probably going to buy the Shinobi Art of Vengeance soundtrack too. If it comes on vinyl.
I hope so.
I hope it releases on vinyl because I will buy it. I will buy it.
I hope so too. Yeah. I have a space over there on the wall, like one last square that is
and
ready
Make sure to send them the number one copy to T. Right?
That's essential. Yes. And if I have the pleasure of meeting you in person, please bring those.
Hey, if you're ever in LA, please let me know.
Absolutely, my friend.
We'll bring it up. All right, man. Thanks a lot, bro.
Drinks. Yeah. Take it easy. Right. Nice to speak to you. Bye.
Right. When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.